Thank you for tuning in to the Emerge Church Tallahassee podcast. We exist to help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can be updated anytime we add new content. Now let's check out the message from Sunday. Let's go to the Word today. Let's not waste time. John chapter 20. Verse 19 through 29. We're going to read the Bible a little bit today. Can we do that at church? Okay. It says, that evening the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they had locked the doors. But suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, peace to you. Look at your neighbor and just tell him peace. Don't tell them peace out. You got to stay for the sermon. Then he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. And Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. Say peace again. Peace. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you. Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach, watch this, I send you to preach the issues of the day. That's not what it said, huh? I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins, and people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty. I love that. One of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the Twin. Now, you've heard of Doubting Thomas before, am I right? I don't like that name. I don't really think that's who he was. I think he was more than that. But that's what they call him, Doubting Thomas. Don't be a Doubting Thomas. Verse 25, so the disciples informed him, we have seen the Lord with our own eyes. Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, there's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally see the wounds of the nails in his hands, touch them with my finger, and put my hand in the wound of his side where he was pierced. I mean, this guy, he wants to make sure. Okay? Then 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together. And even though all the doors were locked, these people had some security issues. They were afraid. They had some issues. They were locking up. Jesus suddenly stood before them. Peace to you, he said. Tell your neighbor peace again. Peace. Yeah. Then looking into Thomas' eyes, he said, put your finger here in the wounds of my hands. Here, put your hand into my wounded side and see for yourself. Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believed. Then the word spilled out of his heart. Powerful words here, by the way. You are my Lord and you are my God. And Jesus responded, Thomas, now that you've seen me, you believe. Oh, this is the part right here. You ready? This is going to bless you because this is you. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more. That's you. I never saw him in person, but I still believe him. And Jesus said, you're going to be blessed even more than the ones who have seen me. Say it ain't fair. Tell your neighbor it ain't fair, but I'll take it. Jesus, over the next few moments, you got to speak because I can talk, but it won't be convincing. So Holy Spirit, right now in this room, you know how it needs to be said to every person. Use me today, God, just to be a voice for you. To share this word, I pray. Lord, it won't leave us where we're at, but it'll take us where we're going in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Where do we go from here? That's the message I want to share today. After an outstanding Easter service, last week was phenomenal. It was incredible. Largest crowd ever at this church for a service, 585 people, 89 kids. Say, that's a lot. Look at your neighbor and say, let's start a babysitting service. It's a lot of kids, autumn children, just everywhere. It was awesome. And you know what I love even more is I've talked to other pastors, and they've had record crowds over Easter. And it blesses me because it's not just somebody going to a church, but it's people going to church. And that's a sign of revival, by the way. When people are going to church, and thank God that people are entering the house of God to worship, especially on Easter. Am I right? Especially on His resurrection day. And I'm just so grateful that you were here and you had friends and family that were here. And that was just fantastic. And I got to give a shout out to all of our teams, especially our kids team, man. I'm telling you, our Emerge Kids team were knocking it. They were knocking it out, man. Kids had so much fun. And I remember talking to some of the leaders in the kids ministry, and they were like, we had fun. And they were just sweating. They had a day, man. It was great. And our worship team, come on, you know you had goosebumps when they sang Nothing But the Blood. Yeah. Look, I was up here trying not to get emotional. I'm getting emotional. Got a little tear falling from my eye, feeling the goosebumps. It was awesome. Our production team, hospitality team, making us feel welcome and at home. Am I right? Just prayer team covering us in prayer. The backdrop for the pictures. Come on. Wasn't that pretty? That was pretty awesome. Thank you, Tiffany. And then, listen, I got to give a shout out to my man, Blake, who takes care of the flowers outside. Every day he stops by, make sure they're watered, looking good. And I hope you recognize that the flowers are purple and gold. Just saying. I didn't do that. He did. Appreciate that, Blake. Go Tigers. Yeah. Thanks to our staff for going the extra mile. And just so many individuals who are willing to serve to make things happen. Just so thankful for that. And how about those young ladies who went public with their faith in water baptism? Come on. They'll never forget that. Water baptism on Easter. Yeah, it was a great day. But after a day that's great like that, where do you go from there? And I'm not just talking about, like, where does a church go from there? I know where people go. A lot of people start going on vacation after Easter. That's where people go. Weather's great. Come on, yesterday, you can't ask for better. It was just great. But where does one go from one of those mountaintop experiences? Where do you go? And as I looked at Scripture, I wanted to see what happened to the guys that were right there with Jesus. Like, what did they do? Like, the resurrection happened. It's like, all right, Jesus is alive. Now what? Like, what are we going to do? Because all that we were certain of and we thought we had figured out, now that's just not even happening. And now we got a lot of unknown because, like, Jesus wants to, like, be raised from the dead. And now he wants to ascend into heaven. We don't know what we're going to do. And I found myself as a believer, as just a pastor, as an individual, sometimes just like, where do we go from here? Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. And sometimes we're so anxious about what's next. We want to know what's going to happen next. That's why people are a little antsy about this eclipse tomorrow. I've seen a few of these little videos where it's like, people really believe the end of the world is going to happen. I'm not mocking that. I don't know. It may happen. You better get right with the Lord tonight. The sooner the better. I'm not trying to scare you into it. I'm just saying today is the day of salvation. Ain't no reason to wait, okay? We read from John chapter 20, and this setting is the evening of the resurrection. This was Sunday night, okay? So they had their Sunday morning thing with the resurrection, kind of like how we had our Easter service, you know what I'm saying? And then they had this Sunday night, they had Sunday night church. We didn't have Sunday night church. I had a pillow. We were at Jay and Jessica's having lunch, and I'm serious, I fell asleep on the couch. I did, and they were laughing at me. And I snored a few times. And you ever were in and out in sleep and in a conversation, That was me. I was out, and then next thing you know, I hear one little thing, and I'm in on the conversation, jumping in. When I read this story, though, I could feel the uncertainty for these disciples, trying to figure out where are we going now, boys? What are we going to do now that this has happened? And if you recall the stories of the crucifixion, the resurrection, there's a little bit that happened in those few days. Am I right? Just a little bit. A little bit's been going on. And so much of it, Jesus told them was going to happen. Jesus told them, but for some reason, it's kind of like they heard it, but they didn't hear it. And my mom likes to say it like this, you hear what you want to hear. You know, that's parent talk for those new parents who are trying to figure out how to do that. And Jesus told them, but now that these events are beginning to happen, it's kind of like they're late to the game of putting all the pieces together. And at the same time they're putting the pieces together, they're just as uncertain as they have ever been. And I think we can relate to that, because sometimes we're trying to put together pieces that we feel so confident about. But in the middle of our confidence about putting these things together, any business people in here? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Just as soon as you start putting it together, you are faced with the biggest I don't know you have ever faced in your life. Yes. Same thing in family. You think you got it all figured out, and then your kids start middle school. Hey. I ain't never heard you talk to me like that. I love you with the love of the Lord. So, they haven't put it all together until now. And they have this uncertainty, and they have fear all at the same time, because if they did that to Jesus, I wonder what they would do to us. Am I right? Like, if they crucified him, what are they going to do to us? Which is why a lot of them didn't even go to the crucifixion. They were in hiding because they were afraid. And now this story finds them hiding, and they're locked up like hostages. And no one is really after them. I need you to hear, and you can read into this, okay? No one is really after them, but they feel like people are after them. Yeah. And so they lock themselves in this room, and it's like, they're like hostages to their own fear. Because the people that crucified Jesus are not looking for them, but in their minds, they have like conjured up this whole scenario that this is exactly what's happening, so we must hide. Yeah. So they're in hiding, and they're stuck in this room. And really, they're stuck in their fear, and they're stuck in their uncertainty. That's where they are. But the way they would describe it would be, we're afraid of the people that did this to Jesus, that they're going to do it to us. But that wasn't really their fear. Their fear was really, we don't know what to do now. Yeah. And when we don't know what to do? We lock ourselves up. Yeah. Locked up in uncertainty. And what blows my mind in this story is that even though the door is closed, and even though the door is locked, Jesus, he still showed up. Yeah, and let me just say this. You can try to run from God, but you can't. And if you're in here today and you have been running from God, just stop running. Seriously, just stop running and say, okay, Lord, you're going to get me anyway, so here I am. Okay. In Jesus' name, amen. Then we can all go home. So when I saw that Jesus shows up, even though the door was locked, I think about how he opens doors that no one can open. And he shuts doors no one can shut. And he tells them a key phrase that I want to highlight here. He says, peace to you. And that line right there is an indicator of what they're really dealing with. He says, peace to you. In fact, he tells them this, if you notice, he tells them this three different times in this same scripture. Peace to you, when he shows up. Peace to you, come touch me. Peace to you. Thomas, where you were at the other night for the evening service? Why are you skipping church on us like that? Peace to you, though. Did you know there's no other place in Scripture that Jesus said this until now? Seriously, I looked it up. I was like, I can't believe this. I gotta find it. Nowhere else. It's after his resurrection that he is telling them, peace to you. So they're fearful of these Jewish leaders that they're going to try to do the same to them that they did to Jesus. And at the same time, watch this. They're not just fearful of those leaders. They're also fearful of Jesus. Now follow me here. I'm going to explain why. Because you're thinking, why would they be afraid of Jesus? Well, one of them denied Jesus. Now we got one of them doubting Jesus. And they all deserted him. And so I just like to think in human terms. Like if I showed up after this, I'm like, where were y'all at? I'm going through the lowest moment in my life. I thought we were friends. Like, I let you help me do miracles. You gave that lady that glass of wine when it was water. I turned it into that. I made you look good. Am I just giving too much humanity to this? Like, where were you? The worst moment of my life. The darkest. John, thank you for being there. Appreciate it. But you were there more for my mama than you were for me. Where were you people? Anybody can relate to this? And so I'm sure at the same time they're fearful of the Jewish leaders, they're fearful of Jesus showing up. Because like Jesus is God and all this stuff and he's got power. And like Jesus can like... You ever thought of that before? Like I wonder if the Lord ever thought of like just... No, never for you, always for them. You ever pray that prayer, Lord, just... Too real for the week after Easter, right? Too real. So he says, peace to you. And that phrase, the meaning of it, literally offers freedom from fear. Tells him that three times. And I think about the condition of our world today. It's still hostile, by the way. I don't know if you checked lately. It's still hostile. But he says, peace to you. And it's not just a greeting. There's meaning behind it. He's saying there is freedom from your fears. They were stuck. They were locked up in uncertainty and fear. And Jesus shows up and says, peace unto you. They have never heard him say this before. And so this is kind of like, have you been waiting to tell us this? Like, what took you so long to tell us this, Jesus? Been with you for 3 years, heard you preach all this stuff. Why are you telling us this now? Sometimes there is a word that God tells you at a specific time that is needed for that time. Amen. And he knew they would need this at that moment. They were stuck in the where do we go from here? And I think many people are stuck in that place. I think back over the last 5 years. Woo! Y'all forgot about that, huh? I know. Weather was beautiful. Everybody's doing their thing. You forgot the last 5 years. I remember Easter of 2020. What in the world was that? I'm serious. Like, we did Easter at home. I preached to a camera. Yeah, we did communion over a live stream. Yeah, some of y'all, you didn't have anything, so you had Doritos. Yeah. Diet Coke. Hope this works. Blessed unto the Lord. Some things happen in our lives, though, that shake us away from making firm commitments. Seriously, there are things that occur to us in our life that keeps us from making firm commitments because we don't know what's going to happen. Like if I make that commitment, and what if something happens after I make that commitment? Okay? And so as a result, what we try to do is feel our way through life, through family, through Christianity, through our careers. We're trying to feel our life. It's like walking with your eyes closed in an unfamiliar room. You walk differently. You're squinting. It's dark. I don't know why you're squinting. You can't see anyway. And you're just trying to feel your way through it all. And I think about the disciples. They had some highs and they had some lows. But now they're in this state of unpredictability because the one that was always there to reassure them, Jesus, has now died. He's resurrected from the dead. And he's fixing to ascend into heaven. And now they kind of got to do this on their own. They're not used to that. They're so used to Jesus taking care of it all for them. Like, if we mess it up, Jesus is here. Don't have to worry about it, man. That's how some people are at work. I don't have to worry about it. They work here, and so if I mess it up, they will take care of it. And then there are the people who take care of it. That's like, you need to learn how to do this. Because if I go on vacation and everything falls apart, you're going to have to do it. Don't call me. Think of this. They witness miracles. These guys have seen front row seat to all of the miracles. And now they see Jesus going through something that's just miserable. They've never seen him in this state. And now this resurrection thing has happened. And that's great, Jesus. So glad for you. We're glad you're alive. But what does this mean for us? This is the state that the disciples in, and I think this is the state we are in after a service like Easter. Because a lot of people, like, they go to church on Easter, it's kind of like, yeah, we got to get back in this thing. And for those who are always in it, they're like, yeah, Easter was great, but now we're going into the spring thing, you know, where it's going to slow down, then we'll go into the summer. What does it mean for us? Where do we go from here? What are we supposed to do now? These disciples, they're in that place. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what to do. Sounds like us. Don't know what to do all the time. I don't know what to believe. Some days are great, some days are not. I don't know about this whole church thing. It's good, but like, it's a big commitment. So where do we go from here? I want to show you a few things in the place of uncertainty. In the place of uncertainty. You ever been there? Are you there right now? In that place of uncertainty, the first thing I want you to know is that Jesus shows up. Like, let's just start right there. In the uncertainty, we see it so many times, even in Scripture. Jesus just showed up. And sometimes I feel like Jesus had, like, stealth mode. You know what I'm saying? Which is why we got to know that sometimes I may not see how, I may not see where, but that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't in on the scene. I mean, after all, when this whole thing got started at his birth, they said, we should call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And if he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, like, do we remember?
Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing this story of the disciples. Do we remember all the things that he said? Do we remember how he taught us? Do we remember these things whenever we're in a place of uncertainty? Because the rule is, when you're in a place of I don't know, you must refer back to what I do know. And so even though I'm in that place of I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know how we're going to get through this, I don't know how the kids are going to do it, I've got to go to the place of I do know that God is faithful. I do know that God has been present in every season, even in the ones I checked out. Even in the ones I have not been the most faithful, God was always there. That is his track. My track record might be sketchy, but his is solid. He is consistent. And so whenever you're in the place of uncertainty, you got to remember Jesus shows up.
Yes, he does.
He always shows up. Why? Because he is faithful. That's why. Jesus, he shows up and he shows them his scars in his hands, scars in his side. And why is he doing that? He wants them to be able to relate. He wants them to not just see the power of his resurrection, but they want to see the personal side of the resurrection. He wants them to see that even though that happened, I can still live. And even though that happened to you, you can still live. Amen?
Amen?
He's showing up. He knew that they needed to see that this wasn't just their imagination, but this is real. And so what happens? They're filled with joy. They were filled with joy. Now, I've learned something about joy. I used to think joy happened from events that occurred. That's not joy. That's happiness. Okay? That's happiness. When good things happen, we get happy. But joy is something different. Joy is bigger than happiness. Joy is deeper than that. Joy's got some roots. Happiness, it just flies around like a bird. But joy's got some roots. And the roots of joy is only found in him. And so watch this. Joy can always be a part of our story if he is present. And so even though that might be happening to you, you can still have the joy of the Lord. Now, you may not be happy. And I know for some of you right now, it's like, not happy, but I can have joy. How does that happen, preacher? Well, my joy doesn't, it's not determined by what's happening. My joy is determined by the one who is in control of everything that is happening. And so my joy is founded on my trust in him and not my outlook of what's going to happen to me. This is foundational stuff that we've got to hear, because a lot of us have lost our joy because we're looking for something to happen that is so good that it's going to make us feel better about this, so that when we're going through the things that aren't good, we don't even know how to have joy in it because it's based on circumstances rather than the one.
Yeah, that's good.
The one.
Yeah.
The one who never changes. You're like, Jesus went through some stuff. I know. He went through some stuff, but he kept going. He kept going and kept going, and he's still going. And so we can be filled with joy even though the circumstances may not be favorable. Might not be happy about it, but I can still have joy knowing that God has shown up again.
Amen.
Just keep showing up, Lord. Whatever you do, am I right?
Yeah.
Just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Just keep showing. You know what the Lord's saying to you? Just keep showing up.
Yeah.
No matter what it is you're going through, keep showing up over and over and over. So where do I go from here? I will tell you where we need to go from here. I need to seek God.
Yeah.
That's where you must always go. Even if it's great, fantastic, circumstances couldn't be better, I'm going to seek the Lord. It's all falling apart. It's terrible. I'm telling you, Pastor Wade, the world's coming to an end tomorrow. They didn't give us off of work for the eclipse. My life is ruined. I'm going to seek God. That's the go-to, seeking God. So watch this. They were at a meeting. After the biggest day ever happened, they are so confused. They didn't avoid the meeting. They went to the meeting. Thomas, I don't know.
Yeah.
He skipped church that night. He needed to be at church. Where do we go from here? You need to be in church.
Amen.
Like, you sound like a preacher that's just trying to get people to go to church. Because I am a preacher that's just trying to get people to go to church. I know that's deep. You might want to write that down and put it on Twitter or X, whatever they're calling it now. Put it on Threads. Where do we go from here? We go to God's presence. That's where we go. Where do we go from here? We go to church. And I feel like that needs to be a decision that you make once and for all. And not every Saturday night or Sunday morning, but you make a decision once and for all. We go to church. What do? I go to church. That's the decision. That's where you go from here. Here's the second thing. Not only does Jesus show up, but he speaks to him. You're like, Pastor Wade, you're just preaching obvious stuff. I know. Again, Jesus told them very obvious things. But they had a hard time putting it together until the moments came where it was like, oh, we should listen. And do you know how many times we sit with people who are going through crisis in their life, and they sit there, and this is what they say, I wish we would have. And they start writing down and mentioning all the things that we say that you should do. This is where these guys are. It's kind of, oh, I guess we should do that. Yeah. This is where we go from here. So Jesus speaks to them at just the right time. This was a moment where they needed to hear his voice. And watch what Jesus says to them in John 20, verse 21. Just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you. This is what he tells them. Yeah, I know he shows up and says, peace be unto you. And that's good, because it's like, oh, all right, Jesus, I was like freaking out there for a little bit. Not sure what was going on, and so now I feel better. And Jesus is like, okay, now you feel better, just like God sent me to you, I'm sending you to them. I am sending you to them. And so what does he speak? He speaks peace to them, and then he speaks purpose to them. You got to hear that. He speaks peace to them, freedom from all of those fears, and then he speaks purpose to them. And basically, this is what he's saying. Don't be afraid. The mission continues. Don't be afraid. It's still going to happen. We're going to keep going, even though this has happened. That just sounds like something that families need to adopt. Yeah. A phrase that says, even though this has happened, we're going to keep going. Amen. Amen? I think that's something good to teach our kids, that whenever they have something that happens in their life that they didn't expect, that they didn't realize was going to turn out like that, they have something in them that says, you know what? Even though this has happened, we're going to keep going. Amen? We're going to keep going. Say that. We're going to keep going. Tell your neighbor, we're going to keep going. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going. And he says, people need forgiveness. And you need to bring it to them. I want you to know today, forgiveness is a big deal to Jesus. In fact, it's such a big deal to him, he died for it. It is such a big deal. Now, you and I, because we have been blessed with the abundance of forgiveness, it doesn't seem like as big of a deal to us because, like, we know there's more of it. You know? But there are people that are sitting with some things in their life and they don't believe they can be forgiven for it. And because of that, there's a separation from God that needs to be reconnected. Amen? There's some things, some situations in their life that is going to continue to reoccur. There are some choices they're going to make out of that state of living in that unforgiveness that is going to turn into an ongoing cycle of hurt. It's going to turn into a cycle of one thing after another because forgiveness is freedom. And you can pretend like it don't bother you. But forgiveness, man, to have forgiveness, it is life changing. And Jesus thought it was so valuable that he gave his life for it. He paid a tremendous price for it. And I want to draw some conclusions from that. That's pretty simple. He wants us to walk in forgiveness. Are you hearing this today? He wants you and I to walk in forgiveness of our sins. You're like, Pastor Wade, this is such an elementary post-Easter sermon right now. But you've got to hear what I'm telling you. He wants you to walk in the forgiveness of your sins, and he also wants you to walk in the forgiveness of those who have sinned against you. Because forgiveness isn't one-dimensional. It's for all. In fact, in our essentials class, you know what we teach about forgiveness? We're going to teach that in here in 2 weeks, by the way. Yeah, we're doing the whole church going through essentials class. This is what we say about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a flow. And it flows from Jesus straight to you and I can't stop the flow. And when I choose not to forgive someone, I stop the flow. Too strong, I can tell. You won't go back to the joy stuff, I know. That's coming up in the essentials class. He wants us to walk in forgiveness of our sins and the sins against us. How quickly can I repent? How quickly can I forgive those who have sinned against me? And even though they didn't say, I'm sorry, I still choose to forgive them because you ain't stopping my flow. Come on now. You ain't stopping my flow. I'm walking in this thing. I'm in the flow of forgiveness. That's a word right there. So Jesus says this, I want you to share the good news of forgiveness to everyone. That's what I want you to do. I am sending you out to tell people you can be forgiven. That's what I'm sending you to do, to go and tell people, I know you've done some stuff. Anybody know somebody? You can be forgiven. And how can I know that I can be forgiven? Because the price of sin has been paid by Jesus. And not only has he paid the price, but he was raised from the dead to not just take care of the sins of my past, but to help me to what? Keep going. To move forward, because I am moving forward now with what? Forgiveness. And I am not going to lose my forgiveness. I'm going to share it with you. So God's forgiven me. I'm going to forgive you. And you should forgive me. And you should forgive them. You say, but they've done some stuff. But you should forgive them because he has forgiven you. He said, go and share it. Share the good news that you can be forgiven. And this is what he's speaking to him. At such a serious time. Peace be unto you. I'm also sending you peace, purpose, peace. You don't have to be afraid. You're going to keep going. You're going to be all right. Let's go. Let's move. But I'm also sending you to share some good news. You are forgiven. And other people need to hear the good news that they can be forgiven. When's the last time you helped someone know they could be forgiven? See, like we turn into these little personal therapists for people and we like to help them manage their unforgiveness instead of helping them walk into forgiveness. Don't just talk to people about everything that's wrong. Help them to get it right. Amen? Help them to get it right. Don't circle the mountain so many times. At some point, we got to move on. Amen. I'm not being insensitive. I'm just saying the forgiveness of God works. Yeah. And a lot of times the stuff that is hurting you that you're trying to figure out, it's going to be solved when you choose to forgive. Okay, let's keep going because some of y'all did not like that. Okay. Then this happens. John 20, verse 22. Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Is it weird? Some may think it's weird. But this was the game changer. He took a deep breath and blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In that moment of uncertainty, I want you to know Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we think about the Holy Spirit, it's like the third person of the Trinity. That he's like that distant relative that, you know, we don't know how to talk about. They're here, but like, that's them. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of Jesus that was given to each and every one of us. He knew that they needed something in them. Something to live in them that would motivate them. And so he breathes on them. Says, receive the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit that was motivating him, the Spirit that was moving him, would now live in them to motivate and move them. I've been reading this book, and one of the lines in it is, you're not stuck unless you stop. And this was a key moment for these disciples because they could have stopped. Could have stopped because I'm just not sure how it's going to look or how it's going to turn out. They didn't know how to move forward. They had a lot of uncertainty. But Jesus, who just had this resurrection, his resurrection makes this statement. It doesn't end here. That's the statement it makes. It doesn't end here. It's like he's saying, you can't stop here. Because if you stop, that's where you're going to get stuck. And I got a feeling there's some people who have stopped some things that they needed to keep doing and started doing some things they should have never done. We made some commitments to some things that pulled us away from the things that we needed to keep doing, but now we're not able to do it, and we come up with some good reasons why we can't do it, but actually we don't realize we're actually stuck even though we're moving around. You ever had nervous energy before? Just doing a lot of stuff. Like, what are you doing? I don't know, man. Just got stuff to do. Well, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm busy. What are you doing? It's nervous energy. That's what it is. It's nervous energy, and it's easy to pick on the people that have that. But when you have it, you don't think it's nervous energy. You just think it's like, I'm being productive. Am I right? You're like, Pastor, you sound like you know exactly what this is like. I just might. And I think he's saying to you today, you don't have to stay stuck. There's one thing in here that I noticed when they locked the door, and this is something I saw several weeks ago that really has been speaking to me. They locked the door because they wanted safety. And he showed up behind the locked door, and he wanted to send them right out of that safe place. And here's the line that I heard a few weeks ago. Early believers prayed for courage. Today's believers pray for safety. Early believers prayed for courage. Today's believers pray for safety. God will take you to places in your life, and I'm not even talking about careers and stuff. I'm just talking about your house with your people. God will take you to places where it will take the Holy Spirit to bring the comfort. It will take the Holy Spirit to bring the courage. Again, we're talking about where do we go from here? Because we're going somewhere. Where are we going to go? I got a good question. How are we going to get there? Because a lot of the things that we're doing and how we're handling it is what's keeping us stuck. And we're praying, God, keep me safe. God, keep me safe. God, keep me safe. And God's like, well, let's just stay here and do nothing. He's like, I got something for you. We're going somewhere. And Holy Spirit gives us the courage. In Romans 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. And this is what this tells me. The Holy Spirit wants to live in us. Have you recognized that God has given you the Spirit, his very Spirit, to motivate the parts of you that are not motivated? It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the want to live right. It's the Holy Spirit that will continue to work with you so that you can take that step of faith. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the motivation. It's the Holy Spirit that is the inner counselor. It is the Holy Spirit that is the compass directing us on this path that God has for us. And so many times we're living our lives spiritless. But oh God, help me. God said, I have helped you more than you even know because I have sent you and I have given you my Holy Spirit. And in a world that we live in today that has described and defined the Holy Spirit based off of a few people that were wacky and weird in church, we're forfeiting the very power that God gives us to stand up and live. Come on, to stand up and live in such a way that we didn't even know that we can live. And it's empowered how? By the Holy Spirit. And we're still stuck under this umbrella of, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be weird. Well, don't be weird. That's all you. The Holy Spirit don't do weird stuff. People do. Look at your neighbor, tell them, don't be weird. Some of y'all, that's a good word. Don't be weird. But be filled with the Spirit. So you don't have to stay stuck because the Holy Spirit brings freedom. The Holy Spirit brings direction. He leads us. He guides us. And this is what Jesus is trying to help them to see from here. Where do we go from here? This is where we're going. This is where we're going. We're going forward. Well, I don't know what else to do. Just hang tight. I'm going to show you as we go. Some of us are so impatient that we got to know everything before we move. That is not faith. Faith is, I will go when he said, just go that way. Well, Jesus, I'm not going to go unless you tell me everything. Like the Lord would tell you. He didn't even tell Abraham, let's go back to the Old Testament. Go that way. Go to the land I will show you. Which way do I go from here? Go that way. Well, where are we going? That way. What's going to happen? Just go that way. It took faith for him. No wonder he's called the father of the faith. Yeah. He went with the least amount of information possible. Yeah. And here we are. We're just like Steve and Dan and Dave. And then we got Abraham. God didn't tell him a whole lot. And we're like, God, you got to give me a full checklist. Yeah. You got to tell. And like, we're stuck in our uncertainty. And that's why we're in the same place we've been in. So where do we go from here? Jesus, fill me with your spirit. Where do we go from here? I take steps of faith. So let's finish with this. Let's not forget about Thomas in this story. Let's not forget about him. He missed the Easter evening service when Jesus showed up. Can you imagine? Oh man, the evening service was the one you had to be at. You know, like some of you are like, oh, second service. Last Sunday, second service. All you people that went to first, you missed it. Second service was where they're like, evening service, Thomas. Where were you, man? Watching golf? Dude, evening service is where it was at. And we see Thomas who's struggling with his faith. And his friends are just letting him have it. You missed it. Jesus showed up. He showed us his scars. And Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I see it. And then the story skips down and it says, on the eighth day. On the eighth day. Tomorrow is the eighth day after Easter. Tomorrow's the eighth day. And Jesus shows up to Thomas. And Thomas gets to touch Jesus. It's one thing when Jesus touches you, it's a whole other thing when you touch him. And this is what he says, my Lord and my God. And this is one of the biggest statements a follower of Jesus has made up to this point, because doubting Thomas, the doubter, has just announced the deity of Jesus. They've called him my Lord, but now Thomas is saying, my Lord and my God. Basically, this is what he's saying, Jesus, you are God. You want to talk about mess with some people? Jesus, you are God. And then Jesus speaks a blessing. And you would think that by making like a mic drop statement like that, am I right? Like Thomas is announcing the deity of Jesus. Jesus, you the thing, man. You the thing. And you just get the feeling that Jesus is about to bless him. And Jesus chooses to bless us through the statement that he made. He said, there's people who will never see me who will be believers, and they will be blessed even more. And I like to look at these disciples and I think they're kind of up there in the chain. Am I right?
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I'm human. I just kind of feel like they're up there. But for him to say, blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. And this is what I think it means whenever he says he still believes. Even when I don't see it working out the way I thought it would, I still believe. And even though it's harder than I thought it was going to be, I still believe. And even though I don't see where you're at, Jesus, I got a word that tells me that you will never leave me and never forsake me. So I still believe. I don't see it, but I still believe it. And because I choose to keep believing, even though I don't see it, there is a blessing that is announced over us. I wonder if there's anybody here who doesn't see it right now. I don't see it, but you still choose to believe. Listen, there are blessings that God has given us you ain't even asking for right now. Where do we go from here? This is where I finish with this word. Commitment. Commitment. Oh, I know people come to church because they want community. That's great. But a bunch of people hanging around and doing life together is great, but it ain't great if you don't have a real commitment to Jesus. Because you will always expect them to do what only He can do. Hey, let's do community together. We're going to have fried chicken here in a few minutes. Oh, first, I mean, newcomers lunches today. But I will tell you, that community can only do so much. Commitment to Jesus is where it's at. Every head bowed, every eye closed, because maybe your commitment to God, your commitment to the house of God, your commitment to the things of God, come on, isn't where it needs to be. And you keep saying one day when, and whenever this happens then, and hopefully if all this works out, then I will be able to. And today the Lord is saying, when will you decide? Like, where do we go from here? It comes down to a decision. Where are you going to go from here? And I pray that your decision will be, I'm committed, Lord. And if you're here today, as we share this message, you say, that's where I'm at. I'm moving forward. I can't stay where I've been. Where do we go from here? I'm moving forward with a commitment to the faith, a commitment to the Father, a commitment to Jesus, a commitment to forgiveness, a commitment to forgive, a commitment to the house of God, a commitment to the ways of God. That is my commitment. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet this morning. This isn't specialized. If you say, I'm moving forward with commitment, I'm moving forward with commitment. This ain't, are you saved or not? This is my decision. From here forward, I am committed to you, Jesus. Come on, I don't feel like I explained that right, because everybody who is a believer should be standing right now. I'm committed to you, Jesus. I know it's tough. I know I've got some uncertainty, but I'm committed to you. I'm committed to the faith. I'm committed to keep believing even though I don't see. I'm committed to having joy even though this stuff is happening to us. I am committed. I'm committed. I'm committed. And right there at your seat, I want you to renew your commitment. Say, Jesus, I commit again. I renew it right now. I renew my commitment to the faith in you. I renew my commitment to the house of God. I renew my commitment to what you told me to do. I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to move forward. Commit it. Father, I just pray that as we commit, Father, we will see where you're taking us. Thank you, Lord, that you're stirring faith in this room. Thank you, Lord, that there are people that are coming out of these rooms, these locked doors. They're busting open because there's a commitment to follow, committing to taking the next step with you. And Lord, I just pray today, Father, that they will no longer be stuck, but they will be stepping. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 We're so glad that you joined us for this message. If you would like to give to help us continue to reach more people, you can go to our website, merchchurch.com, and click on Give. We hope to see you at church this Sunday.